Hello, I'm Michelle Norgaard.
And I'm Kim Spikes, and this is Culture Snack.
What did we do this week?
We went to a sound bath, and I was super excited because it's something that I do regularly a few times a week, and
it's totally new to me.
Was it your first time?
Yes, it was totally new to me. You've been talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, like, what is it? You didn't really explain it, so I was not sure what to expect. I was expecting,
what did
like,
you expect?
I was expecting, like, somebody walking around me with a bell jar going,
a very woo woo.
Yeah, yeah, woo. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, you were very enlightened and you're into stuff that I don't even know about. Like, did you tell me you do meditation? I mean, that's rad. That's awesome. But I did not know.
Yeah. We'll definitely get plenty of time to talk about that in this podcast. But yeah, sound baths are something that seem to be coming back. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing them, like our building offered one.
Oh, cool.
Where I live. Uh-huh. And I was surprised because it was very, very well attended.
Oh, nice.
I suggested it and was like, hey, why don't you do a sound bath to the woman who plans everything. And when she put it on the schedule, I was like, oh my God.
Was that easy?
No one is going to show up. And she's going to be super furious with me for suggesting it. So I like sheepishly went, I'd never done one. I didn't know what it was.
Oh, that was your first time?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I showed up with in my little workout clothes. And when I got there, all these people were there. They had like 30 people. And they showed up with pillows and their pajamas and their little eye covers.
Oh, wow. They've been to this rodeo before.
Knew what it was way more than I did. And it was cute. And they showed up with what I called their nests.
Right.
Like they were ready to like get down and do this. And mm-hmm. I had no clue what I was doing.
And no expectation. Like you're just like, I guess I'm just going to do this.
I suggested it. So I might as well go and see what it is. So, and I had just seen it somewhere and was like, that sounds cool. Like, what is a sound bath? So
I really liked our, what would you call her, instructor? Is she a guru? Is she our guide?
All of it. What she had to say.
Melissa Spoons, and we are sitting here at the lovely Yoga Zama, located in Turtle Creek in Dallas. So here I am at almost 50 years old, and I am playing sports and playing music. So been in health and fitness for 20 years, found yoga, decided to get certified as a yoga instructor. And as I was doing that, I was retiring from a 10-year professional career as a musician. And I experienced one of my first sound baths. And I thought, wow, I was mourning the loss of music coming to an end. And then I saw this door open in front of my eyes with yoga and how sound healing with these yoga practices and embodied practices kind of can come together through what I'm doing here.
The first time I was experiencing the bowls was interesting. I got into meditation in Houston, Texas. I read a flyer because it's before the internet.
That was a long time ago. You were in Houston in... Was that dinner's ready? That was in the 90s.
Yeah. I was in Houston. I moved there in 97.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, in 97. And I found a flyer and I was like, what's meditation? This sounds interesting. And it was in a school library, like for elementary school, mm-hmm. on a Sunday, and you were supposed to bring a towel, and we pulled our little towels out in the library and sat down and then just did stretching essentially. And I was like, huh, mm-hmm. that's interesting. And then when I moved to Dallas a couple of years later, there was the Dallas Yoga Institute, I think was the name of it. Mm-hmm. So I went there and it was deep stretching where they have these, they were like, hey, you're going to bend your back over a chair. And they just put a chair in the middle of the room and you had to do a back bend over it.
What?
And I was like, I don't think that's possible. And it is. If you go slow enough, you can do it. And so I was like, oh, this is interesting. But it wasn't quite yoga like mm-hmm. you think of it today. And at the end of that class, they had someone with bowls. And they're like, you're just going to sit on your pallet and then close your eyes and listen to the sound, which technically would have been my first sound bath.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what it was.
Right.
And they didn't call it that.
This was like intro to yoga in general. Because, I mean, I got into yoga later because of you.
So they started playing the bowl. and it was the worst sound I'd ever heard in my life. Like, really? It really bothered me. Ooh. And I opened my eyes and instantly, like, wanted to leave.
Ooh.
And everyone was just sitting there in these really
chill
postures. I'm like, why does that sound like that?
Ooh.
And so at the end, I asked the instructor, I'm like, there was one time you did it and it actually hurt. Like, it felt like it was electricity in my body. And they're like, oh, you have a blocked chakra. And I'm like, oh, what does that mean? Oh, my God. And then... I didn't go back.
You were like, I don't want to uncover.
I don't know what this is.
It can stay blocked.
And then I got more into, tried Bikram yoga, mm-hmm. but it was just too hot. It's mm-hmm. the place I was going to. And then I found another woman who taught at Larry North. And
yeah,
did that.
I went with that too.
She was great.
Gloria Twinings. I saw her somewhere randomly, but I was like, she's not going to remember me. She was fantastic.
She was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of carried that on in New York.
But your spiritual journey.
I carried it on. But I'm really excited to have this bull aspect to it because that's a whole nother dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how it's a really key part if you're going more traditional and kind of how yoga came up. And
right. Well, the way it's described is I like the way she describes it.
So what is a sound bath? So a sound bath, typically speaking, if you go to a sound bath, it's going to have usually crystal bowls and some other instruments. You might find some gongs, some drums, some chimes, maybe some rain sticks. So it's a very immersive experience, right? And the beauty about sound, especially the bowls, is each bowl that I use seven, and they are specifically designed for seven energy points within the body. In yoga, we call these chakras, but they are scientifically proven to be these main energy points in our body, starting at our root all the way through the top of our head.
So what's your background with meditation and yoga?
I think I took a yoga class in college, and it was mm-hmm. pretty introductory, and I was like, oh, this is cool, because you know, you always see it here and there, and I was like, I want to be zen, I want to be cool, I'm be flexible, and I did that.
So at
that
Tech?
At UTA.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think when you came, and then you were kind of into yoga, and then we did that yoga, and we were really kind of dedicated to mm-hmm. that, even though it was in like Highland Park.
Yeah, I know.
That was fancy. Pretty, yeah, it was. And then I just off and on kept up with it, and I really liked it because it turns out I'm flexible, and I, you know, it doesn't take long for you to kind of achieve some really kind of achievement. You know, you feel a sense of like, oh, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be skinny. You know, it's just a matter of, and it's really great for people that are into sports mm-hmm. and all this stuff. But the sound bath thing, I had no idea what it was going to be like. So yeah, at the beginning of the practice, you know, she gets you into kind of that relaxed state, and then we start doing some yoga, which that surprised me. I was like, oh, okay. Because I wasn't really prepared. I didn't know that was going to happen, which I was fine with, but I haven't done yoga in a while. So I was kind of like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
That was cool. But, and then when we get into the sound bath part was, I was like, all right, getting down to the nitty gritty.
There we go.
And I was really surprised by it. Like it is, it's very, it's soothing. It kind of like, it does kind of stir something, a sense
you
of something,
feel it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, is this where I have to admit that I fell asleep?
Yeah. She fell asleep, folks. So she's not going to talk for the rest of this podcast. She's going to go take a nap in the corner.
It's the vibrations.
It got you. It gets everybody. It really does.
And so if you think about vibration, if you held a bowl and you put, let's say, water in it, or if you had a cup of wine, and you know how you do the thing where you put your finger on the rim of the wine glass, right? And you'll start to hear a sound. And depending on how much water or wine is in that glass, you're going to get a different sound, right? This resonance. Well, our bodies are mostly water. So the beauty of this sound bath is very healing, and it takes these different frequencies that are found throughout our bodies. And whenever you are immersed in this sound, it's actually entraining these parts of your body with the sound. So that's the long and short of it.
I think that's fascinating to think about, that your body, I mean, I know your body is mostly water, but to really think about how sound affects water, you can see it ripple and move.
Yeah.
To know that that's on some level doing that through your body when they're playing those bowls,
right,
is trippy.
Yeah.
It trips me out.
I mean, to see your, to envision your body as having like ripples going through it or it being affected by the sound. I mean, okay, honestly, it makes me think of Venom, the movie or the cartoon or the comic book.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Have you watched any of those?
No. No. You're on your own now.
So he's an alien. This is the dumbest explanation. So he's like an alien being. He comes down and he's, what do you call it? Like a symbiote or he takes over your body. And like he takes over your body, makes you do things. It's funny. It doesn't sound funny, but it is funny. Uh-huh. And the only way to get him out of the body is with like sounds, like a jarring sound. And then the alien's all, oh no. And then he like detaches from the body.
Makes sense.
Right? That's what I keep thinking when we're talking about this. But yeah.
What I hear is the sound will sound like it's in one ear. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like it shows up in the other ear. Mm-hmm. And but it's going through your head, not around it, if that makes sense. And then sometimes it'll swirl. And it's just like, I don't understand how any other time I listen to sound, it doesn't have that effect.
It doesn't do
and
that.
The first time I heard it, it really was just like my eyes opened and I was like, what the hell? What is that?
So now you can understand why I'm so annoyed that I fell asleep, because I wanted to experience that.
She was gone.
I mean, I woke up sometimes because the rain thing, that I thought it was raining outside. I was like, oh my God. But I was so into it. Like I was like, I'm just going to let it wash over me.
Nurse. Yep. And then she went to sleep.
Sound has always been a part of the human existence and culture and a part of a lot of spiritual practices. This one particularly, it's going to fall more into from the Vedic tradition, where we're going to find Hinduism, and then Buddhism did come from Hinduism. And so a lot of Hindu and Buddhist traditions use sound healing. You have your Tibetan sound bowls. You have the chakras that are found in the Vedas. They discovered these energy points a long time ago. These Eastern philosophies and spiritual practices found out very soon through chanting and mantra, which is also sound vibrating in our body, how much healing can come from these practices. So it intertwines together.
Yeah, I think sound in Buddhism and these traditions is mm-hmm. super important. And something interesting that I had read a long time ago was that the common thread between like Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism and all of these mm-hmm. is that you're usually singing. Could be hymnals or prayers or whatnot, or chanting mm. or making a sound like om.
Yeah.
But so the idea is that some researchers went in to see what it does to the human body. And most of these have a certain count. And it's like, you know, like, I don't know if you've heard of box breathing, and like
no.
Navy SEALs use it. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, breathe in for 4 seconds. So essentially you're taking an in-breath for 4 seconds and then you have a whole cycle of not really breathing in mm-hmm. again. And that's essentially what happens when you sing, what you take a, and then right. you go for a long period of time and chant or sing. And that mm-hmm. actually starts to create a synergy in
rhythm.
All the systems mm-hmm. in your body. And so breathing's a key component. So that's why it shows up so often.
Right.
And I think this sound plays into that as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the first things they talk about in yoga is the breathing, yoga breath. And I mean, I was surprised that I knew so many people that didn't know what that meant. Like, even like when I've known somebody that's been sick or hurt or whatever, I'm like, okay, well, take deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And people don't always understand that shallow breaths are like antithesis of trying to make yourself calm, you know, mm-hmm. like when you start panicking, like mm-hmm. that's when you start hyperventilating or whatever. But that deep breath that keeps you calm, like I've used it a lot over my lifetime of having a baby. Mm-hmm. You have to do that yoga breathing just to kind of calm yourself down. Well, not the Lamaze breathing, that's weird, I never did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the breathing. And so that is closely tied into the chants.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the Buddhist chant, but I did it when I was trying to kind of chill out at the beginning of this year. Something that was soothing about repeating it over and over again. Yeah. And then, you know, it didn't matter what the words were. It was just
the rhythm
hum and mm-hmm. that, yeah, the way it feels to say it. It was very cool.
It's interesting.
Energy gets stuck in our bodies, and energy, you can find places and we feel it in our body. If our heart is racing, you know, we're anxious, we feel this energy in our chest, right? And that might mean there's a lot of energy in that part of our body. So it can take something that has a too much energy and entrain it, right? It's going to match that frequency and balance it out. It can also do the opposite. So the opposite is when we have things that feel stuck. Do you ever feel stuck in our body? Like, it's just not moving in an area. A lot of times our deeper energy points, like our root chakra, which is kind of our survival, when we've been in a lot of survival mode, these places in our body can get stuck where there's no energy moving. So it can do two things. It can activate, and then it can balance out, because it's going to take wherever that part in our body is and bring it into homeostasis.
Homeostasis. What does it mean?
Are you asking me that? Or?
You don't know either? No, I mean, I think it's like a state of just like where everything's like zen, like it's
still
all even. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody needs that. Everybody needs to be even and like have that balance. Are you Googling it right now?
I am. The tendency toward a relatively stable equilibrium between interdependent elements, especially by physiological process.
Okay. So yeah, it's like a balance, right? Yeah. It's like being, yeah, I get it. Everybody needs that.
Yeah.
So who would benefit from sound bath?
Everybody.
Oh my God, everybody. Everybody. Let me tell you, I'm also a certified meditation teacher. And I've led meditations and went through meditation training. I practice meditation myself. And I would say anybody who is remotely interested in a meditative practice that is going to get you to a state in your body that is that sense of calm that you think when you think of meditation without you having to just actively calm your mind, which who can do that right now? It gets you there really fast. You're experiencing brain waves going into these lower brain waves that create such a sense of calm within your body and your mind to where you're almost in a dreamlike state. It's what we think about meditation as, but we have in our Western culture, we just have a hard time getting there. So we use these to really kind of just transport you there quickly. So I would say anybody, I don't think there's anyone who is interested in any type of meditation, embodiment practice, I would say come, because there's nothing you have to do. It honestly is just coming and lying on your mat and receiving and letting the power of sound do what it does. I think it is a practice, and it's something that you start training your body. So the first time it can be a little, oh wow, this is new, what is it? And then the more you come, the more you realize your brain starts to remember, oh, this is what we're doing. It knows where it's going, and you start to experience some of these deeper states the more you experience it.
Yeah, meditation's interesting. And I think her idea of like the practice of consistency. When the first time I was introduced to meditation was when I was in high school, my swim coach was like, we're going to do this thing. We're going to lay down on the mat. Don't go to sleep. Just lay there and you're just going to lay there, but you're not going to go to sleep. And so that was my first introduction to meditation. Anyway, we all fell asleep. Like we were out in seconds. It was like the best thing after school. You're tired.
Yeah.
Down. And then I got reintroduced to it in New York. I started with a company and they were like, hey, we do transcendental meditation. Do you want to take the class? And I was like, I guess. And
so, be a team player.
Yeah. Yeah. So they paid for it and I got to go and learn TM in Midtown, New York. And you go in and they put you in a little room and, you know, you listen to a woman describe how to meditate and their process for meditation, which essentially is 2 20-minute meditations, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, late afternoon. And then they take you in a room and they tell you your mantra, like give your own special one. And it's a big deal. And you're never supposed to tell anybody what yours is.
While you're meditating, you're just saying this in your mind over and over again.
But they're specialized. And so then Bobby, who heads up TM in New York, who taught Oprah and all these people, would come every once in a while to the facility I worked at and do like a free meditation class with us. And we all started doing it. And it was pretty hilarious because I worked in post-production, was a lot of editorial, a lot of different productions working under one house. And there were three at the time casting directors. So one would walk through with an incense, and that's how we knew it was time. And then we'd all go in a room, do our meditation, and come out. And we did it every afternoon at the same time. And one time we were all sitting in there in the dark meditating, and there's like probably six or seven of us, and someone opened the door and like looked in, and all they see is the lights off, it's dark, the windows are drawn, there's about five or six people on the floor sitting, not doing anything. And they just stopped and then shut the door and left.
Freaky.
And we had no idea who it was, so we couldn't go tell them, like, oh, we do meditation. So they, I'm sure to this day, they have quite the story that would be very different from mine right now.
Cult over there.
Yeah. It was our little cult. It was a lot of fun.
That's so cool. And so, like, what does someone do? Like, did they lead you? Do they're talking to you? Or, like, you know, you're in a meadow. You're doing this. Is it
There's
that kind of
so
meditation?
Many time. Oh. With TM, you're just quieting your mind and then saying your mantra over and over.
Mm-hmm.
There's others where they're guided, so you have someone telling you things. There's others where you're labeling, like, I hear a sound. I hear a car. I smell, you know, my food.
It kind of like increases your awareness.
Your awareness. Yeah. Like the idea is that you're very present right now.
I think that that's really, I think a lot of people could really benefit from that.
Oh,
you think
it's
about
huge.
How busy we are and like phones and TVs and I mean, and computers and, you know, people talking at you and it's just constant stuff. And I think that kind of decompression is valuable.
I know they've doing a lot of scans now on Buddhists, on monks. And show like their whole mind is lit up while they're meditating.
Oh,
like
wow.
It's not normal brain patterns for people.
Right.
So I think there's something very important and key to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the more I practice it, the calmer I feel. Like things just, I don't know. Like there's definitely a lot there.
What I brought tonight, I brought a set of Koshi chimes that everybody loves. They are very fun. They're one of my most favorite things to play. Let me see if I can find that without making too much noise here. I have four or five different chimes that are all set to different musical notes and combinations. I love to walk around and one time somebody said, what is that you're playing that sounds like the circus is coming to town? People just are out after I play the chimes. It's very ethereal, very, very light. I also have my big... ocean drum. People love that as well. I had to search a long time to get the perfect sound of actual rain in the ocean. This thing is gigantic and I love it. People have, when I play that, actually think sometimes there's a rainstorm outside.
So out of all of it, what was your favorite sound to hear?
I definitely liked it while I was asleep. I swear it was like a waking sleep. I don't know if that's a thing. I did like the rain thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they talked beforehand about like, oh, there's going to be a storm coming. And I really thought that that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's like this big bowl that has these
beads.
Yeah, some kind of beads. And then it's like, I guess like a timpani kind of covering on it. So it made it very rumbly.
Mm-hmm.
And so during it, she would walk around with the different instruments. But I didn't, I mean, my eyes were closed. I had the towel over. So I didn't look. I wanted to kind of, but I was so like into it that I didn't want to kind of break it just to investigate. Yeah, you know,
it's fun at going around you because you're just like, I hear it coming, I feel like it's over me, then it's moving and then other sounds come in. It's just, it's fascinating.
What's your favorite?
I like that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bulls because I just like to hear the sound
move
and those kind of circular pattern and what it does. But I also really like those little chimes that sound like the circus. There's something very...
It reminds me
of like something from my childhood, but I can't quite put my finger.
Maybe like one
on
of those wind up toys or something like that. But it's like the I think also the level that it's at.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else that she played, I think, is at that kind of
tinny
kind of high pitch. That was cool. She talks about like the notes of the bowls and stuff. Those bowls were beautiful.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
So that's cool too, to know that it's rooted in music. It's not just, you know, sounds randomly.
So now I am taking out my bowl. So I was saying, in the practice of sound healing, the bowls are, in yoga philosophy, they are the same frequency as our seven chakras. And so there are seven bowls. If you are a musician and know anything about music, they are C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. So they actually go up the scale.
There's a bunch of people who go regularly, and there's kind of, I think between the classes, there's people who go to several classes, and there's some that just go to the same ones over and over.
It sounds like you get the most benefit from doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah. I think the smart thing is to get the monthly pass, and then you have access to everything. But you'll see a lot of this regulars, and people are really friendly, so you get to know everyone. Yeah. And Colleen's one of the first people I met last year when I started. I met her through a friend, Michelle, who was the one who introduced me to it.
Okay. And
yeah, she's great. She's a regular. I see her pretty much every week, at least once or twice.
My name is Colleen McInerney. I'm at Yoga Zama Studio in Dallas, Texas, and I've been coming here since June of 2023. I had been to a couple of sound baths before. It had been years prior, and a neighbor texted me one day last June and said, hey, my pals opened up this yoga studio. They're doing a sound bath deep stretch class tonight. Do you want to go? And before she could get the invitation out, I was like, yes, what time? Can we go now? You know, I just knew I had loved it before, and it was just exactly what I needed at the exact right time.
So you go a lot. Mm-hmm. So how have the benefits shown themselves to you?
I would say the stretching's great, just because I do like a lot of weights and stuff, and I've never done the stretching that I should be doing. And okay. So now I'm like, okay, I should really do this. And I think it's nice because it's gentle stretching, and you're holding it for a long time versus yoga, where you're
like
still
power yoga,
really
where, yeah,
pushing, you know, your body.
Getting the heart
really
rate
hard
up and all that, yeah.
So it's just nice to be like, it's just going to be relaxing and not stressful. And I do think that, I don't know, it just creates this calm. And like, it's nice that it's Monday, because Mondays are my roughest day where, you know, you've had this Sunday scaries and like you're back into the work and doing everything.
Yeah.
And then it's just nice to end the day with like, I know I'm going to have this relaxing moment. So I think it's, yeah, definitely there's an effect. I feel it. You can train your mind to slow down. You can train your mind to be present. Your mind is a muscle, and you can train it to do different things. You just have to be patient and do it over and over,
right,
and
repetition.
Have a practice.
Right, right.
Practice, practice, practice. Coming back, coming back, coming back. And yeah, so that's a big difference.
I had so much anxiety, and that manifested obviously mentally, but also physically. I was just so tense and stressed out. And I thought, well, at the very least, I'll have a good stretch session. But my hope was that what I understood sound baths to do was that they change the neural pathways in your brain and help relieve anxieties. And I had hoped that that would happen too, but I just kept coming back. And it did help. Well, to be honest, I really didn't know if it was helping in the first few months. I just did it, you know, because I enjoyed it. But it wasn't until my father went into the hospital and passed away, and I handled that in a far different way than I normally would have handled it. In a way that I've handled losing people before and major stresses in life before, I normally would have toughened up and held it in for a year. And a big word in yoga studios is release. And I think that this practice gave me the ability to release as it was happening. And that's when I knew, when something big happened, a big challenge, that's when I knew that, things were happening on a greater level.
Like,
yeah,
everybody could benefit from that. I think of people in my life that are, you know, maybe even me, maybe, you know, we've had people pass in our lives, and, you know, there's grief counseling, but does it really get you where you need to be, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's, and you're right, like what you were saying earlier, like it's our mind. I've always felt you can kind of talk yourself into things or out of things, you know? And,
yeah.
Not saying that anxiety, not to dismiss, you know, certain conditions or anything, but I think if you've got the wherewithal, You know, sometimes you can. I mean, but the brain is, how much would they say? We don't even use 10% of our brain. Yeah. Like the geniuses maybe use 10% of their brains, but just kind of compartmentalizing things. We could do it in a detrimental way, but we could do it in a positive way too. So, I mean, I think that this is a good practice.
Yeah. And it's weird to really think that your entire world experience is from behind your eyes, not in front of them.
Oh my God, where'd you get that from?
It's, I don't know.
That's good.
Someone said that recently and it really resonated.
Yeah.
Of just like your experience is just what you think it is, what you're...
Right.
What, how you're interpreting it yourself. Yeah.
I've always said that. My perception is my reality. So when someone says, no, it's not that. And it's like, well, this is how I see it.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me how I see or feel, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, same idea.
It's like knowing, I think just paying attention to it is a good first step in meditation and bowls and all of that.
I mean, I don't...
Give you a space to do it.
Yeah, I can't think of... I mean, is there anybody that wouldn't benefit from this? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I feel like everybody benefits from just stopping for a minute and paying attention.
I was worried that I was going to be one of those people that cried. I'm like, maybe there's something hidden in
there. It comes out. Yeah.
No crying, just sleeping.
Yeah.
A little bit of snoring.
That's what you needed.
I know, probably.
That's what you needed. A little nap. I like it.
Oh, just go. Just go once. I love sitting next to someone who has never been before. That friend that invited me the first time, the neighbor, she had never been to a sound bath before. It was so fun to sit with her and then afterwards to hear her talk about it. I mean, I've been to yoga studios in the past, but this one was created by people who own a family therapy practice. And they were interested in changing neural pathways and those things. And that's why they brought sound bath here a couple times a week, which is so unusual and so special. It is a true, genuine community.
Yeah.
And there are people who float in and out with ClassPass or whatever, but there's really a core community here that's incredibly special. Yeah, good yoga pals, good yoga friends.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm glad you get to come out and meet everybody and see the community. And it's, Colleen said, it's a lot of really cool people who are nice and
chill
and easy.
I totally felt that. Like, it wasn't a big crowd, but it was a nice group and everybody was instantly warm and friendly.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe like with this, with almost anything else, like if you're going somewhere that's a little bit specialized like this, I think by being there, you're already showing people that you're willing to learn about something. And then that kind of open-mindedness, I mean, you know, they welcome you. I mean, you know, you may not be one of us, but you could be, and we welcome that. And I love that. And it's just totally different. I don't know about the neural pathways and shit, but I mean, maybe. Yeah. I don't have to microdose shrooms to blow my neural pathways. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to come, and you'll have to come again.
Yes, for sure. Especially if they're going to do a special series. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Get to know my chakras.
Exactly.
Culture snack.
Go do weird shit.
Perfect.
You guys are so cute.
A special thank you goes out to Vivek Fabian for making our theme music.
Our jazzy theme music.
Yes.
And to Teresa Davis for our awesome logo.
Woohoo! Thank you, Teresa.